Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
My wife and I had just had breakfast looking across the vast city of Seoul, Korea. The day was cloudy and dreary, but we commented on the number of churches, which were visible, all of which had a cross silhouetted against the dark sky. I counted no less than a dozen crosses, many of which were outlined in red neon. Beneath these crosses, men and women met at the beginning of the day, every day of the year, for prayer. Churches here in Korea are open for prayer at 5 a.m. The practice of early morning prayer began when Korea was overrun by the North Korean army, and Christians met together early before heading for the fields or the factory where they worked. It never stopped. "Whatever happened to corporate prayer elsewhere?" my wife asked. "Well, I know of no other national church anywhere in the world that so recognizes the power of corporate or group prayer as does the Korean church. The practice of praying together as a church body has been sorely neglected. In fact, in most places, it has almost ceased to exist in the church of the 21st century. Sure, I know we can excuse it, saying, the schedules of people today and our lifestyles just don't lend themselves to this sort of thing anymore. But could the deeper reason be that we have become so self-sufficient, so secure, so lacking anything that we no longer feel any compulsion or need to prostrate ourselves before God and to cry out for His help? To the Church of Laodicea long ago, God said, 'You say I am rich, and I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.' There are times, of course, when we are driven to pray. Abraham Lincoln, who presided over the terrible conflict known as the American Civil War, said he had been driven to his knees many times by the realization there was nowhere else to go. When Hurricane Katrina smashed the Louisiana coast in the U.S., the governor immediately declared a day of prayer. When William Rehnquist, the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, died, his body was on display in the entrance to the U.S. Supreme Court building, and public prayer was made. People pray when extreme difficulties challenge their security, their sense of well-being or comfort. With our massive buildings, our websites, our podcasts, our specialization, and our slick promotion, have we forgotten that the power of the early church was generated by ordinary men and women who humbled themselves before God, asking Him to do what they could not do? If we can tweak the interest that brings thousands of people to church on weekends, is it not possible to convince people that joining hearts and hands in prayer can help change the world? Or do we really believe that? My great concern is that if the Holy Spirit were totally withdrawn today, in many places, the church today would operate unchanged because program and production energize the show rather than the Spirit of God. Yes, individuals are told to pray, but the example of the early church as well as the practice of healthy churches says that prayer produces a spiritual power and vigor that makes it strong enough to withstand difficulty and challenges and persecution without losing vast numbers of people. It's a sure thing that the example of the early church should convict us of our lack of prayer. It is a lesson we need to take to heart. Learn to pray. Simply open your heart and let the words flow out, and God will do the rest.
You've just heard Dr. Harold Sala with Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living. If you would like to listen to the program again, download a copy, subscribe to our e-commentary, or view other resources, visit guidelines.org. We would like to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@guidelines.org. That's info@guidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again for the next edition of Guidelines.